things. Right, forward.
The door led to a column-lined corridor. There was a distant murmur of voices. The troop crept towards the sound until it reached a heavy curtain. Laviolus took a deep breath, pushed it aside and stepped forward and launched into a prepared speech.
"Now, I want to make myself absolutely clear," he said. "I don't want there to be any unpleasantness of any kind, or any shouting for guards and so forth, or indeed any shouting at all. We will just take the young lady and go home, which is where anyone of any sense ought to be. Otherwise I shall really have to put everyone to the sword, and I hate having to do things like that."
The audience to this statement did not appear to be impressed. This was because it was a small child on a potty. Laviolus changed mental gear and went on smoothly.
"On the other hand, if you don't tell me where everyone is, I shall ask the sergeant here to give you a really hard smack."
The child took its thumb out of its mouth.
"Mummy is seeing to Cassie," it said. "Are you Mr. Beakle?"
"I don't think so," said Laviolus.
"Mr. Beakle is a silly."
The child withdrew its thumb and, with the air of one concluding some exhaustive research, added,
"Mr. Beakle is a poo."
"Sergeant?"
"Sir?"
"Guard this child."
"Yes, sir." "Corporal?"
"Sarge?"
"Take care of the kid."
"Yes, Sarge. Private Archaos."
"Yes, Corp," said the soldier, his voice gloomy with prescience.
"See to the sprog."
Private Archaos looked around. There were only Rincewind and Eric left, and while it was true that a civilian was in every respect the lowest possible rank there was, coming somewhere after the regimental donkey, the expressions on their faces suggested that they weren't about to take any orders. Laviolus wandered across the room and listened at another curtain.
"We could tell him all kinds of stuff about his future," hissed Eric. "He had, I mean he will have, all kinds of things happen to him. Shipwrecks and magic and all his crew turned into animals and stuff like that."
"Yes, we could say walk home," said Rincewind.
The curtain swished aside. There was a woman there, plump, good-looking in a slightly faded way, wearing a black dress and the beginnings of a moustache. A number of children of varying sizes were trying to hide behind her. Rincewind counted at least 7 of them.
"Who's that?" said Eric.
"Ahem," said Rincewind. "I rather think it's Eleanor of Tsort."
"Don't be silly," whispered Eric. "She looks like my mum. Eleanor was much younger and was all..."
His voice gave out and he made several wavy motions with his hand, indicative of the shape of a woman who would probably be unable to keep her balance. Rincewind tried not to catch the sergeant's eye.
"Yes," he said, going a bit red. "Well, you see, you're absolutely right, but, well, it's been a long siege, hasn't it, what with one thing and another?"
"I don't see what that's got to do with it," said Eric sternly. "The classics never said anything about children. They said she spent all her time mooning around the Towers of Tsort and pining for her lost love."
"Well, yes, I expect she did pine a bit," said Rincewind. "Only, you know, you can only pine so much, and it must have been a bit chilly up on those towers."
"You can catch your death mooning," nodded the sergeant.
Laviolus watched the woman thoughtfully, then he bowed.
"I expect you know why we're here, my lady," he said. "If you touch any of the children, I shall scream," said Eleanor flatly.
Once again, Laviolus showed that along with his guerrilla abilities was a marked reluctance to waste a prepared speech once he had it all sorted out in his head.
"Fair maiden," he began, "we have faced many dangers in order to rescue you and take you back to your loved..."
His voice faltered. "Once, this has all gone terribly wrong, hasn't it?"
"I can't help it," said Eleanor. "The siege seemed to go on for such a long time, and King Morsalium was very kind, and I never liked it much in Ephebi anyway."
"Where is everyone now, the Tsortians, I mean, apart from you?"
"They're all out on the battlements, throwing rocks, if you must know."
Laviolus flung up his hands in desperation.
"Couldn't you, you know, have slipped us a note or something, or invited us to one of the christenings?"
"You all seem to be enjoying yourselves so much," she said.
Laviolus turned and shrugged gloomily.
"All right," he said. "Fine. QED, no problem. I wanted to leave home and spend 10 years sitting in a swamp with a bunch of meat-headed morons. It wasn't as if I had anything important to do back home, just a little kingdom to rule, that sort of thing. Okay. Well, then, we might as well be off. I'm sure I don't know how I shall break it to everyone," he said bitterly.